This is your friend John Walden. I want to read with you Psalm 40. I love the Psalms, and I see in the Psalms a great deal more than just comfort for those who read them. I see that in the Psalms we often have wonderful pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of these Psalms we call Messianic Psalms, or Psalms which tell of the coming Messiah, the Jewish name for the Christ, the Lord Jesus himself, we believe. Psalm 40 is one of these Messianic Psalms. It's very refreshing to turn from the previous Psalms, where there's a great deal of sorrow and prayer for deliverance, to this 40th Psalm, the happy note where there is deliverance and where the Lord Jesus is brought before us. There were five sacrifices in the Old Testament that picture to us the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on the cross. And the first and greatest of these was the burnt sacrifice, or the burnt offering, which was altogether for God. And Psalm 40 is a good picture of how the Lord Jesus gave himself to honor and please his Father. Now in the sixth verse of Psalm 40, he says, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened or pierced. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God." By turning back to the 21st chapter of Exodus, the first six verses, we see that there was a picture given to us there of the Hebrew servant who, when his time of slavery was up, instead of going free, said, "I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I will not go out free." And so his ear was bored through with an awl, and he was a perpetual love slave. Now exactly the same word is used here. Then, if you'll turn to the 10th chapter of Hebrews in verse 5, you'll see that this verse is quoted. Psalm 40 and verse 6 is quoted some thousand years later in the book of Hebrews, and it is said to be true of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, I'm not just imagining that this is a prophecy of Christ. Now think of this. 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus was born, the Spirit of God caused King David to put this down. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, there's a change in the wording. Instead of saying, "Mine ears hast thou opened or pierced," he says, "A body hast thou prepared me." When the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth and took human form, he didn't cease to be God, but he did become really man in every sense of the word, except that he was not a sinner. When the Lord Jesus took humanity, he did this in order to serve the Father and to serve us. But in so doing, he became a perpetual love slave. Because when the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, he went back in that same body in which he was crucified. The last sight the disciples had were of those nail-pierced hands and side as the Lord Jesus ascended. And he's there at the right hand of the Father. And when we see a picture of him in the coming day, in the fifth chapter of the Revelation, he is called the Lamb that was newly slain. When we see the Lord Jesus in the coming day, we'll still see the marks of Calvary in his hands and feet and side. So Christ, in order to redeem us, accepted this humiliating place of becoming man and of dying on a cross. That's why in verse 2, where he speaks about verse 1 and 2, crying to God and being brought up out of an horrible pit in the miry clay, this is a picture to us of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. For when he died in our place, he didn't remain dead. He came alive the third day, and he's alive forevermore. Then in verses 9 and 10, you have the proclamation of all this. I have preached, I have not refrained my lips, I have not hid thy righteousness, I have declared thy faithfulness, I have not concealed thy loving kindness. So the good news, that's another word for the gospel, the good news going out in our day is the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And all of our hopes for eternity are bound up in this redemptive sacrifice. Now, Psalm 40 is also a picture of the salvation of sinners. This is often true in the Bible. You will have different facets of truth, different ways of looking at portions of the Scripture. And this is a very wonderful picture of salvation. In this case, the pit and the mire, verse 2, would stand for sin. And sin is a horrible pit, and you can't get out by yourself. And it is miry clay. It sticks to you. You'll never be able to get rid of it. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from all sin. Notice it says, He brought me up. I didn't bring myself up. None of us can save ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a helper. He's a Savior. And when He came to this world, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so He brought him up, and He set his feet upon a rock, and He established his going. That is, the Lord not only saves us, but He keeps us. It would be a dishonor to think that the Lord would save us halfway, that He would just save us for a little while and let us be lost. He established his goings, and then he says he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And this is the song of deliverance, the song of salvation. There are two songs in the Bible. One is called the Song of the Drunkards. Another one is called the Song of Redemption. Which one do you have? Too many in this world are just singing songs that they hope will make them happy. But there's no real happiness. In fact, most of the popular songs have a very sad note to them. Only the Christian has the real song of joy. There are some nice outlines on the 40th Psalm. I remember hearing one man speak about this, and he used words which sound alike, alliterations. The first one is degeneration, the horrible pit and the miry clay, how far away from God we had gotten. And then you have regeneration. He brought me up. The Lord saves the soul, gives us new life. And then you have a foundation. He put my feet upon the rock. And, of course, our foundation is the rock of Scripture and Christ himself. And then you have stabilization. He established my goings. He made me steadfast. And then you have emancipation, because He established my goings. I don't need to go to the places I did before. I don't need the things which unsaved people need. He has set me free. Emancipation. And then he says we have singspiration, because he put a new song in our mouths. And finally, recommendation, because he said, I'm going to tell others, and many shall trust in the Lord. Another friend of mine used to say that this is a psalm of ups. First of all, he gave up. That was his cry in verse 1. And let me tell you that no one will ever be saved unless he gives up his own efforts and his own doings. Just give up and acknowledge that you're lost. And then he was brought up out of the pit, and then he was set up upon a rock, and he was even held up because the Lord established him, and he was tuned up because a new song was put in his mouth. And then he was able to look up from verses 12 to 17. He says a great deal about looking to the Lord, about keeping his eyes on him. And finally, in verse 17, he was caught up. He says, make no tearing, O my God. That a nice outline? Well, these are some of the things which the Lord does for us in salvation. Now, the results of all this are given in the close of this wonderful psalm. For instance, in verses 14 to 16, 14 and 15, really, we have the judgment of God on the unbeliever. Now, remember that this is one of the results of the Lord's finished work at Calvary. According to John 5, the fact that the Lord Jesus suffered and died for us gives him the moral right to be the judge. What are you going to say to the Lord Jesus when you face him as your judge, and you see the marks of Calvary in his hands, and you know that he died in your place, what can you say? So he says, let them be desolate, and let them be confounded, and let them be ashamed, and let them be driven backward. And so those who reject the Lord Jesus will have to take the consequences of their foolish choice. But in verse 16 you have the joy of the believer. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let them say continually, the Lord be magnified. This is a wonderful song, isn't it? God has made us glad. He's made us glad not in ourselves, our own works, but in the finished work of Christ and the Word of God that tells us all this. Well, the psalm ends on a very happy note. I am poor and needy. Now, he was poor and needy to start with, and he's still poor and needy at the end of this psalm, and we'll always be poor and needy. We have to depend upon God for everything, even after we're saved. Yet he says, the Lord thinketh upon me. The Lord pays attention to me. The Lord is occupied with my needs and problems. And he says, thou art my help and my deliverer. And so he is. Every day you have new problems and new needs. And he's the deliverer and he's the helper. And then he says, make no tarrying, O my God. We're looking for the Lord to come back. It may be very soon. And every Christian's heart cries out, make no tarrying, O my God. Or as he says at the close of the book of the Revelation, even so come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Once again, our Savior, we thank thee for loving us and dying for us. We thank thee for thy word that tells us this wonderful good news. We pray for those who have listened today. God bless all who are thine and save the lost. And hasten the coming of our Savior in his name. Amen.